Okay, for our next presentation, from Auburn University, Will Groover, and his title, Yield Benefits of Nematicide Applications Across Multiple Cotton Cultivars in Root Knot and Reniform Nematode Infested Fields.
Thank you, Dr. Fossey. All right, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Will Groover. I'm a graduate student at Auburn University, and today I'll be sharing some nematicide trials that our lab does on a yearly basis to evaluate how well we can work on controlling and managing root knot and reniform nematodes. So a little bit about the pathogens. The first one I'm going to talk about as a nematologist, this is one that's near and dear to my heart. This is the root knot nematode. For us, this is Molluigina incognita. This is a widely found plant parasitic nematode, and typically we see this in areas that have a really sandy soil. So for us in Alabama, that's primarily south and central Alabama, but we do see this throughout the state. We consider this an endoparasitic sedentary nematode, so when it buries into that root to feed, it kind of sits in that one spot and doesn't move around very much. And this is a very damaging nematode in Alabama and the rest of the world as well. The other nematode we're going to be talking about today is the reniform nematode. This is a Rhodolincolis reniformis. And unlike root knot, this is a semi-endoparasitic sedentary nematode. And I have a picture of what that looks like, if I can find my mouse. Here we go. So this picture right here, you can see this is a female feeding on a cotton root, and it's partially embedded into the root. And so we find this nematode in almost all tropical and subtropical areas. It has a wide host range. I've heard it referred to as wide as pineapple to cotton. And unlike root knot that likes a high sand content, this nematode likes a little bit heavier soil type. So anything with a heavy silt or clay concentration, that's a little bit more favorable for reproduction. And just like root knot, this is a very damaging nematode in Alabama. And throughout the southeast, it causes a lot of problems as well. So a little bit about the economic relevance of these nematodes in the United States. If we look at how they impact cotton in 2019, it was an estimated loss of about 630,000 bales. And I ballparked 67-cent cotton for the sake of this talk, and that was a little bit over $200 million lost. And you can see in 2018, we estimated about 485,000 bales and 628,000 bales in 2017. For reniform, the numbers are not quite as high, but they're still detrimental. In 2019, it was an estimated a little under 200,000 bales, and in 2018, a little over 200,000 bales, and 2017, about 264,000. So you can see both of these are very damaging to cotton throughout the cotton belt. So we know it's a problem. We know it costs us a lot of money. So what are we looking for? How are we deciding if we do have a nematode problem? Well, typically you may see some reduced growth and yield. You may see some spots where based on your inputs, you expect a better stand or some better growth patterns than what you're seeing. It may also show up as nutrient deficiencies or foliar discolorations. When it comes to reniform, you may have some thinning or reduction of your feeder roots. As this nematode feeds and produces an egg mass on the root system, a lot of times if you dig this root system up, you may have soil particles stick to the root. That's very atypical of what a healthy root system may be. For root knot nematodes, you're going to get that classic galling sometimes. This is a picture of a root from some of these trials this summer. You can see we have some galling forming there, hence named root knot nematode. So how do we manage this? We know it's a problem. Traditionally, we've kind of recommended a three-pronged approach when able to do so. This consists of using nematicides, implementing a crop rotation, and using resistant cultivars if available. So what I'll be talking about today is one root knot trial we ran this summer and a reniform trial we did as well. So first, I want to explain the experimental design of the root knot trial. So this was to evaluate seven commercial upland cotton cultivars in the presence of root knot nematodes. So this took place in central Alabama at the plant breeding unit in Tallahassee, Alabama. This is a Kalmia loamy sand. You can see this 80% sand right here is ideal for root knot. This trial was set up as a randomized complete block design with four row plots. Two of these rows were treated with autocarb, and two were left untreated, and this had five replications. For the reniform trial, this was done to evaluate six commercial upland cotton cultivars in the presence and absence of reniform nematodes. So unlike the root knot trial, we did this where we do have reniform and where we do not as well. So you can see a map of this down here. I keep losing my cursor. I apologize. Right here. So you can see this area. This is at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center in Belmina, Alabama. We have an area here that we've inoculated with reniform for over 10 years. And then right down the road, we have an area where there is no reniform present. This is a Decatur silt loam, and you can see that high silt and clay percentages are ideal for reniform. This was also set up as a randomized complete block with 6-row plots. 2 rows were treated with Copio Prime, 2 rows were treated with Nema Strike, and 2 rows were untreated, and this also was 5 replications. So a little bit more about the experimental design. For the root knot trial, we planted this on May 15th. This was the second planting that we had to do. We had to replant this trial. It was originally planted on April 17th, and we had an unexpected rain event about 2 days after planting, and we just had terrible germination. So we had to go in and replant the trial, and that was May 15th. And we sampled the trial on June 26th and harvested on October 25th. For the reniform trial, this was planted April 30th. We sampled on June 22nd and harvested on October 2nd. For both trials, we also took plant stand at 14 days after planting. And so when I say we sampled, what we did was we went through every 2 rows of the plot and we took 4 plant systems per plot. So this was for plant height, weight, and egg numbers. And for sake of today's talk, I'm only going to focus on our population density and total yield. Data was analyzed with SAS 9.4 with the GLEMIX procedure, and Tukey-Kramer was used to analyze or to compare means with significance of 0.05. The cotton cultivars we used for both trials, we used Deltaspine 1646, 1725, and 1747. We also used Phytogen 330 and 350, as well as Stonville 5471. We originally planned to use Stonville 6182 for both trials, but we just didn't have enough seed for both, so it was only in the root knot trial. All right, so I'm going to go through the plant breeding unit, the root knot data, and then I'll transition into the reniform data, and that'll be the end of my talk. So for the first thing I want to look at with the root knot was what was our population density and how did our nematicide impact that density. So you can see this red column here is our eggs per gram of root knot in the untreated plots, and the green bar is the eggs per gram of root with the addition of AgLogic. So this was a significant reduction. On average, we had about almost 400 eggs per gram of root in the untreated plots, and right around 38 eggs per gram of root in the treated plots. This is about a 90% reduction. If we separate this out even more, each of these are by variety now. So each red bar is that specific variety's untreated plots, and the green bars are the treated plots. You can see once again across the board we saw a pretty significant reduction by autocarb regardless of variety. But when we look at these numbers, considering what we've seen in this field in the past, this really wasn't a high population density. So we saw these numbers and we saw this reduction and kind of went, well, how is this going to translate to yield? We're not sure if this is enough to be significant to impact yield. And what we saw was that we were correct. You can see our untreated plots averaged about almost 2,500 pounds per acre of seed cotton, and the treated plots averaged about the same. So we didn't see a strong difference, but we really didn't have a high population density of root knot in 2019 for this trial. So overall, we only saw about a 2% increase with AgLogic. And so it kind of went, well, let's look at this by variety. And we did see some differences here. Some worth noting are with Deltaspine 1646, we saw about a 2% increase in our seed cotton yield. The largest increase we saw was with Phytogen 330 at about 46%. And then we saw about a 3% yield bump with Stonville 5471. So now I'm going to move into the reniform trial. So the first thing I wanted to look at this was how is reniform impacting our yield. And this, if you forget anything else I have to say, if you don't remember anything else I have, I think this is the most important slide that I have today. So if you see the green bar on the left, this is our no reniform yield. Across the board, this is what that trial averaged. And the red bar is what the reniform trial averaged. So when there was reniform present, that's what we saw. So if you look at those averages, we averaged about 4,800 pounds per acre of seed cotton in the non-reniform field. And in the field where we have a high population density of reniform, we saw about 2,300 pounds per acre of seed cotton. This is about a 52% yield decrease just with having the reniform presence alone, which is very significant. So from there, I separated this out. So you can see I have every variety listed here on the bottom, as well as the specific seed treatment or untreated for that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide. I just wanted to show you that regardless of what we looked at in that trial, we still saw that strong reduction. As I mentioned, it was about a 52% reduction. So right out the gate, you're losing half your yield to reniform. This is very significant. So from there, I kind of went, okay, let's take a look at the how our nematicides are impacting our population density. So you can see this red bar here. This is our untreated plots. We averaged about 6,700 eggs per gram of root in our untreated plots. With Nema Strike, we averaged about 9,000 eggs per gram of root. And with Copio, we saw about 1,300 eggs per gram of root. So this led to about an 80% reduction by Copio. So this was interesting. This was very interesting data. So from there, I wanted to dive into this a little bit more. Let's see how this is kind of being impacted if we look at each variety on their own. And you can maybe see why we saw what we just saw on the previous slide here. Phygin 330 had a very high population density for nemastrike, kind of changing what our averages were there. But if you look at how each nematicide did, numerically, we saw that nemastrike lowered reniform density on 5 of our 7 cultivars, and numerically, Copio lowered reniform density on all of our cultivars. So if you look at yield, let's see how all this impacted our yield. Once again, red bars untreated, green bars nemastrike, blue bars Copio. Our untreated averaged about 2,300 pounds per acre of seed cotton. Our nemastrike, right around the same. And then Copio is about 2,600. So all this was statistically similar. There were no differences here. But if we look at percentage-wise, we got a 1% increase with nemastrike, and we saw about a 14% increase with the addition of Copio. So if we divide this out a little bit, I know there's a lot going on here, and I realize if you're in the far back, you probably can't even see some of the right side of this, so I apologize for that. But all of the red bars here are each variety with the untreated. All the green bars, again, are the variety with the nemastrike, and the blue bars are that variety with Copio. The orange spears overlaid on that is the population density of eggs per gram of root that I showed on the previous slides. So it's kind of hard to get an idea of what we're looking at here, and I think the most interesting way to look at this data is not sorted by variety, but to sort it by nematicide. So you can see we have the red bars, the green bars, and the blue bars, and we saw a pretty consistent reduction in our reniform eggs per gram of root with the addition of Copio, and you can kind of see that with our orange spears consistently near the bottom. And as you can see, we did see that 14% increase with that addition across all these varieties. So to summarize all of this, what are the big takeaways here? So we did see that AgLogic significantly reduced our root knot number, nematode eggs per gram of root, but we did see a low root knot pressure in 2019. I think that had an impact on why it did not translate to yield. Reniform populations can have a drastic impact on your cotton yield. If you're growing continuous cotton and you have reniform pressure there, those numbers are going to be very detrimental to your yield. As I mentioned, we saw a reduction in seed cotton yield by about 52% across all of our varieties from the reniform field to the non-reniform field. And then with as far as Copio went, we did see a significant reduction in our reniform eggs per gram of root. This is about an 80% reduction on average, and this led to a 14% yield bump with Copio compared to the untreated control. So with that, that's what I have. I think I still have a few minutes for questions. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm happy to be here.